Read along, Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Paul said, "What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung or refuse, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Three times in the New Testament, we read of Paul's encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Acts chapter 9, chapter 22, chapter 26. Before his conversion to Christ, Paul, then known as Saul, as you know, was a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. And he speaks of all that he had to boast in as he gives his pedigree, if you please, in Philippians chapter 3. This ruler of the Jews had a burning hatred for Jesus Christ and those who followed him. He sought to rid the world of these followers of Jesus. He wanted to stop this movement of men and women becoming followers of this man from Galilee. The Lord Jesus dealt personally with Saul, that was his name then, later the Apostle Paul, but the Lord Jesus dealt personally with Saul, and he was made to realize that the Lord Jesus is indeed the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And he was made to realize, too, that in touching any believer, he was touching the body of Christ. On that Damascus road, Saul submitted to Christ and accepted him as the Messiah, the Savior, not only of the world and of the Jews, but for himself. And from that moment on, Saul, now Paul, had a burning desire to know Christ. And we have read his words here in Philippians chapter 3. Paul said, as to his position in life, he had much about which to boast. Indeed, he did. But when he trusted Christ, when he submitted to his claims as Lord and Savior, he realized that actually he had nothing about which to boast. He counted all of his accomplishments as refuse, as garbage. And what great losses Paul had in becoming a follower of Christ. Many people don't realize how proud some of the Jewish people are and how bold they can be in their belief. And the Apostle Paul was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews, a well-educated man, a man of financial standing, but in becoming a Christian, he lost financial stability, he lost physical comfort, and he lost a great reputation and so much more. But his gains were greater than his losses. He speaks in verse 8 of a personal gain, the knowledge of Christ. Oh my, it's wonderful to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. A personal gain. In verse 9, a positional gain, and be found in him. And then in verse 10, a potential gain, to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul felt the greatest thing that ever happened to him was getting to know Christ. And knowing Christ was radical and revolutionary to Paul. It changed everything about him. And Paul wanted to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, all relationships start somewhere, and they are expected to go somewhere. A relationship can either be tenuous and temporary, or it can be deep and intimate. Now, the Apostle Paul had that desire, that burning desire of a better knowledge of the person of Christ, a better knowledge of the power of Christ, a better knowledge of the passion of Christ. And such a desire to know Christ better brings us to spiritual maturity, as we see in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. In the month of October, we celebrate Columbus Day. You do so particularly here in the Bahamas, since Columbus landed at San Salvador. And we speak of Columbus discovering America. Some would have us to say, well, maybe after Leif Erikson. At least we were taught that possibility in elementary school. But no, Columbus is given credit for discovering America. But Columbus knew just a very small portion of America. I understand in Canada there are lakes that are still unnamed. And possibly the same would be true with Alaska. Stuart Briscoe tells us that when people engage in name dropping, the immediate thing we want to know is how well does the dropper know the dropped? And a Christian is a name dropper supreme. Because those of us who claim to be Christians, we are referring to that name which is above every name. We are saying that we belong to Christ. We are Christians. We are Christ's ones. And we are name droppers supreme. But how well do we know our Lord Jesus Christ? Paul had that desire to know Christ. Now, knowing Christ is initially in two stages. There is preparatory knowledge, and then there is personal knowledge. Preparatory knowledge is knowing about Christ, knowing about His existence, and giving mental assent to these facts. Suppose a person accepts the existence of Christ and the validity of His claims and say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Well, what then? The person needs to go further and see the relevance of Christ to his life or to her life. We might have the facts about Jesus Christ, and we might accept them, as I said, give mental assent to them, but the Savior said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. How much do you know about Jesus Christ? Do you have that desire to know Him better, to know Him more intimately? There is preparatory knowledge, but then there is personal knowledge. And the word the Apostle Paul uses here in Philippians chapter 3 is not knowledge of intellect, it is knowledge of intimacy, that I might know Christ. All we know of Christ historically and theologically comes from the Bible. Experientially, we know Him through acts of obedience, of faith. And these are acts that are responsive to what we have learned about Him in the Word of God. To learn about the Lord Jesus Christ is to love Him. And to love Him is to obey Him. And to obey Him is to serve Him. I don't mind saying, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. And I have known Him well over a half a century now. But Paul had that desire for a more intimate relationship with Christ, that his knowledge of the Savior might run deep. And some people profess to be Christians and to know Christ as Savior, and their profession might be a half a mile wide, but about an eighth of an inch deep. How well do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you were in 2 Samuel in your quiz tonight. Let me go back to 2 Samuel. So many interesting stories in the Bible. I am thinking of Mephibosheth. We read of Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel chapter 9. You might remember that the people of Israel wanted a king. They wanted a king sitting upon the throne, one that they could see, like other nations. It was God's plan and purpose that there be a theocracy. No, they wanted a king sitting upon the throne. Well, the king is to come from the tribe of Judah, but God, for various reasons we can't go into tonight, God allowed the people to have a king from the tribe of Benjamin, Saul by name. Saul was king. But after the death of Saul and Jonathan, King David ascended to the throne, now a king from the tribe of Judah. And David wanted to know, was there anyone living of the house of Saul? He wanted to show kindness for Jonathan's sake. Word came to him, yes, there is a son of Jonathan, Mephibosheth by name, and he's way off in the land of Lodibar. Maybe he fled there for his life. This man, Mephibosheth, was lame on both his feet, you remember. That was from a baby. He was dropped by the nurse as a baby, and he became lame on both his feet. He needed someone to transport him around. Also, there was Ziba, a servant of Saul. And when word came that Mephibosheth was to come to David, Ziba, this servant of Saul, also came with all of his family, and David instructed Ziba to look after Mephibosheth. Some of you are familiar with the story. Some years later, one of David's sons, Absalom, won the hearts of the people, and he overthrew his father David. David had to flee for his life. And so what a sad scene it was as David leaves the city and he's going into exile because his son had overthrown him. In leaving Jerusalem, David had gone a little way when Ziba, Mephibosheth's servant, came to David with a couple of beasts saddled and upon them a variety of foods. "Where is Mephibosheth?" said David. And Ziba said, "He stayed in Jerusalem, saying that the house of Israel would restore unto him the kingdom of his father." So David said, "Ziba, all that pertains to Mephibosheth is yours." And David goes off into exile, a rejected king. Later, after the death of Absalom, David is coming back to Jerusalem. And this brings us to 2 Samuel chapter 19. And let me read to you verse 24. Now, David had asked when leaving, "Where is Mephibosheth? I thought he was so devoted to me, so dedicated to me, because I showed him kindness for Jonathan's sake. Where's Mephibosheth?" And Ziba said, "He didn't come. He's waiting to ascend to the throne himself." But now David is coming back. And verse 24, 2 Samuel 19, "And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, Wherefore winnest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me, for thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king, but my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. You know, this is still a mystery among Jewish people today. Was Mephibosheth simply pulling a fast one on David? Or was he sincere? I am fully persuaded that he was fully sincere. And the reason I say that is verse 24. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. I am touched by this, because the thinking of Mephibosheth was this. My king is out there in the hills somewhere. He's a rejected king. There are so many here in this area that did not want David. And David was overthrown. And my king is out there rejected. And Ziba pulled a fast one on me. And he lied about me. But my king is out there. And he's not able to dress his feet today. I'm not going to dress mine. He's not able to trim his beard. He's not able to groom himself. I'm not going to trim my beard. I'm not going to groom myself. He's not able to have his clothes washed and put on fresh raiment. I'm not going to wash my clothes. He wanted to be like his king. Very touchy. That's the way the Apostle Paul was. He had a desire to be Christ-like. To know him intimately. To live for him. Young people, I'm speaking to you tonight. Now, the older ones are here. They're hearing me, and this is for them as well, but this is youth night, so I'm speaking directly to you. Let me ask you, are you a Christian? Many of you young people say, yes, I'm a Christian. And you're using that name, you're a name dropper, you're using that name which is above every name. That name that God is so pleased with, that name in a coming day that every tongue will confess to the glory of God, you profess that name. Well, let me ask you, young people, when you are away from this chapel, are you thinking about your rejected king and seeking to live for his honor and glory? Every time I come to Spanish Wells, I hear things here that are no different from what I hear elsewhere. And young people, listen, we older ones, for the most part, whatever you're faced with, whatever you are indulging in, whatever you're watching, whatever you're taking, we have been there and done that. We're not ignorant. We have been there and done that. But you have to come to grips with things and face reality that as a Christian, I'm associated with the Savior of the world, God's well-beloved Son. He is rejected by the people of this world. As you know, in our country, we cannot even mention the name of Jesus in public. People cannot pray in school. We live in a godless world, and it's no different on this island. And our hearts go out to you young people. What you're faced with is no different than what we were faced with when we were your age. The only thing is that you're just exposed to so much more of it all at one time. But we experience these things. And sad to say, many of us indulged in what some of you are indulging in. And we had to learn the hard way. We're living in a world where those who design our clothing do so that the women will show to men that they're available. It's hard for Christian women to find decent clothing in this world. I know what my wife tells me. I know what my granddaughters tell me. And men want women, and you young men want young women to dress in such a way that they will say to you that they are available. And when you're away from this chapel, I mean, it's easy to sing, oh, how I love Jesus when I'm here, but when you're away from here, and you're out there with the crowd, the Lord only knows where, and doing the Lord knows what, are you thinking about your rejected King, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Young people, each time you get ready to go out, I want you to look in the mirror. Fellas, girls, I want you to look in the mirror and say to yourself, now I'm going out tonight and I'm going to be tempted to do this. I'm going to be tempted to indulge in intoxicating substances, whether it's alcohol or drugs. I'm going to be tempted to do it, but I'm going to stand for Christ. What were we singing 100, share His love by telling what the Lord has done for you. Share His love by sharing your faith and show the world that Jesus Christ is real to you. You'll be tempted to indulge in these things, to indulge in sexual activity, to drink, to do God knows what. And you might think other people might not know about it, but the Lord knows about it. Young people, don't drag that name that you are associated with and that name that you drop by saying, I'm a Christian. Don't you drag it in the muck and mire of this world and bring shame and dishonor on the name of Christ. We plead with you not to do so. Just look in the mirror and say, am I going to live for Christ tonight or not? And take a stand for him. Mephibosheth said, my king couldn't dress his feet. He couldn't trim his beard. He couldn't wash his clothes. I'm going to refrain from doing these things myself because I love him. And Paul had that desire to know Christ and to live for him. Young people, thank you for listening to me. And we pray that you'll live for Christ. Father, we thank Thee for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for that blessed name which is above every name. And to think that He is not ashamed to call us brethren. We pray for each one of us here, young and older, that we will redeem the time and live for Christ. We give Thee thanks now for our time together and for this food which we're about to receive. In the Savior's name, amen. Thank you. God bless you.